Good to go? Okay. Can you guys hear me okay, or can I ditch this? You got it. All right. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming today on this awesome rainy day, finally. The title of my teaching is called God Is, You Are, So Let Go. And that will make more sense as I get into my teaching. But first, I want to premise this teaching with how God's been working with me, specifically with Elizabeth. That's how this teaching all came about. So the last few times Stephen and I have taken our kids swimming, Elizabeth has developed this fear of going in the water, like petrified, just, no! You know, and like last summer, she was great. She wanted to swim. She wanted to kick her feet. Never like putting her face in the water, but that's cool. But all of a sudden, she's had this deep fear of swimming. I have no idea where it came from. And I honestly have no idea how to help her. My idea of help was like, just go in. Push her in. You know, like, you're fine. We got you. I got you covered. So this led me to start praying and say, you know what, God, I have no idea how to help her with this because I've never considered myself a fearful person. I kind of think just the opposite, that I'm a little bit more on the fearless side. I like to go on roller coasters. I would love to go skydiving. You know, like, I'm not afraid to do things like jump in a pool. So I've just been talking with God and spending some time with him, like, God, how do I help my daughter? And he's like, well, back up a second. You think you're fearless? No, you do have fears in your heart, and I want to make them known to you so that I can come in, take out those fears, and fill it with love. Because really, that's what drives out fear, is love. That's what replaces the fears in our heart. So, we're going to talk about fear today. Kind of a heavy topic, I know. But I promise to keep it light and short and sweet. But fear is basically a feeling of inadequacy. That you are not able to do something. A lot of fears, I made a list of common fears. And I don't just mean like everyday fears like I'm afraid of spiders or heights or anything like that. I mean deep to your core fears that we all struggle with. I don't care who you are, but you are confronted, and the adversary tempts us all the time to be afraid in different areas of our life. So some of the things that I thought of and have dealt with personally is, I'm not good enough. A fear that you're not good enough, that you're not important enough, that you're weak. A fear of failure, that you're going to fail at whatever it is you're trying to do. You're afraid of criticism. You're afraid of what others will think of you. That's a big one. And a lot of these kind of all connect. If you were to break them all down, they kind of have a common theme. Sometimes you have a fear of lack. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough time. You know, we get tempted to fear for these things. We have a fear of being rejected, of being alone. That's a huge one. We think that kind of ties into not feeling good enough. A lot of times people are scared to share their heart because they feel like people are going to reject their heart, that people are going to reject your true self. Sometimes we have a fear of confronting people or confronting our own issues because we don't want them to be exposed, or we have a fear of confronting someone who's hurt us because what if they hurt us again? What if they laugh in our face? We have all these different fears that we are confronted with. Another one is a fear of letting go, a fear of turning the rein over to God. A lot of times we think we have to do everything so it gets done right. I'm guilty of that one. I'll try to do everything because I want it to get done right. But the real root of that is I'm afraid. I'm afraid it's not going to get done right. I'm afraid that God is not going to be able to take care of my needs. Some people have a fear of commitment. Commitment in marriage, commitment in friendships, commitment to an obligation. That can stem from a lot of different things. I think the fear because you're not good enough. It all kind of comes in together. Another one is you might have a fear of punishment, of having your wrongs exposed and being punished for it. That's a big one with kids. They try to hide when they've done something wrong because they don't want to get in trouble. Another key one is sometimes there's a fear that we're not hearing God's voice anymore, that we're not doing the will of God, that we're not rightly dividing the word, or that someone else who's sharing it isn't. There's also a fear that you might be missing out. You might be missing out in life, in whatever situation it is. Maybe you feel like you're missing out on time spent with loved ones, or you're missing out on an opportunity. Fear can creep in to get us to believe these things. And it's not from God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7. I know this one by heart, something I learned when I was young. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So all those fears that I just listed, you guys might come up with your own. No, maybe there's some other things I left out. I'm sure there are. But know that that fear is not from God at all. It says it very clearly. We don't even have to get into that. So when thinking about fear and how to deal with fear when we are confronted with it, I thought of three practical ways to deal with fear. This also kind of is a piggyback off of Jan's teaching from 2 weeks ago. Because there's two different main ways we naturally deal with fear. We either fight, I'm a fighter, or we flight, you run, you retreat, you get the heck out of there because you don't want to deal with it. Well, God says something different. We're going to take a brief look at how Jesus Christ dealt with a temptation to be afraid. So let's go to Matthew 26. And the three things that I'll just say to begin with, and we'll see how that's displayed, is to number one, you need to look at God and not your situation or yourself when you are confronted with a fear. Number two, you need to ask God for help, because in your own strength, you will not be able to overcome any fear. And number three, you need to encourage yourself and others with God's word, because that will release the power to free you from your fear. Okay, so Matthew 26, let me get there. We're going to go to verse 38. Once again, this is kind of a heavy part of the word. This is Jesus Christ, right before he knows he's about to be crucified, that he's about to be betrayed. He's about to give his life. Would you not agree that that is a situation you would be tempted to be afraid in? It doesn't say outright Jesus Christ was afraid, but we also know that Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways like us. So he was confronted with the opportunity, or not the opportunity, but with the... He could have been afraid. He could have chosen to submit to these kind of fears. Fear of dying, fear of being rejected, all kinds of things. But what did he do? So verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Yeah, I'd be a little sorrowful and heavy if I were in his shoes too. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." We'll just keep reading the rest. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend. That's incredible right there. He knew for all along that Judas was going to betray him. He knew it was coming. He knew it was right there in that moment, and he still called Judas his friend. Just a little side note. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into this place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? And in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So a couple different things going on that Jesus Christ experienced. Was he rejected? Yeah. Did his friends, his disciples, leave him? Yeah, do we ever have fear that maybe our friends aren't going to like us or ditch us? That happened. Another interesting thing here is that one of his disciples responded with that fight. So he tried to fight. He struck a man with his sword. Jesus said, don't do that. Nope, not fighting. And Jesus didn't run. He didn't run away. The only place he went was to be with God. His first response to deal with what was coming was to pray to God, to get quiet, to be in God's presence. That's the first key. He wasn't looking at the situation. He went directly to the Father, and he bared his heart to him. Is there another way, God? No, okay? Or, you know, he had a conversation with God, and God supplied him with what he needed. Let's quickly go to Mark 14. We're just going to see this record three different times, but just highlight a couple differences. I'm not going to read it three different times, too. That's a cool study, though. Mark 14, verse 34, we'll start in. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. So that's just a little bit extra to add on. It just kind of is building this picture of what happened. But the thing is, he acknowledged God, who God was. Here. Father, all things are possible unto thee. You know what that does when we start to acknowledge God? It builds our trust. It puts us in a place where we can surrender our fears and trust him because we know his character. We know who he is. God is able to do all things. Okay? So that's an important thing that Jesus Christ was acknowledging that because he needed to get in a place where he was not afraid. Because he was probably tempted to be afraid in this situation. We'll turn to Luke 22. Verse 39. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So there's another little piece of the puzzle put together. What happened when he went to God and asked for help and acknowledged who God was? God sent an angel to minister to him, to help him, to strengthen him so that he was able to face the fears of what was about to come up. And we all know what that was. He gave his life for us. And it wasn't just a quick, easy death. He took on all of our sins for us. And he didn't have to because he was sinless. So he didn't deserve any of it. But yet he faced this fear, knowing who God was, asking God for help, and then encouraging himself with God's word. The whole time leading up to this, what did God do? Or what did Jesus Christ do? He ministered to people. He shared God's word. He constantly was teaching his disciples and probably reminding himself of the scriptures, of what was going to come to pass and why it needed to come to pass. And why did it need to come to pass? So we could all be sons and daughters of God. That's love right there. So he was motivated by love to face this fear and to go to God about it. So those are the three things. If you think about this in a different light of what Jesus Christ had to face and how he faced it. And he does it over and over again in the Gospels. We don't have time to go through, but even such things as a fear of lack with the fishes and the loaves, they were in a real situation where they did not have enough food to feed people. And what did he do? Jesus looked up to heaven, looked at God, prayed, blessed it, walked out on it, and shared the scripture with people. And they had enough to eat. So any fear that we are dealing with, I guarantee there's an answer and a way to deal with it, and it's all in God's word, and that Jesus Christ had to do it so we can look to him. That's why I wanted to show this example, because Jesus Christ is our example. And if he could do it, so can you. So can I. We have his spirit. We have Christ in us. So we don't need to be afraid of fear. Fear the fear. There's actually such a thing as like phobia. It's like a fear of being afraid. It's crazy, but it's true. But we do not need to be afraid. We have God on our side. So in light of that, this is where the title of my teaching comes in. There are, I believe, 9 cards located under your chairs. So everyone, see if you're the lucky winner. It's just like a 3x5 card. If there's one under an empty chair, just grab it. All right, so if you have a card, while I'm still talking, please look up that verse and be quiet. I will call on you in just a few moments. So don't get too excited yet, all right? Another interesting thing I wanted to point out about Jesus Christ and how he was able to do what he did is in Matthew 3:17. So let's quickly turn there for the people who don't have to go to their assigned verse or verses. So this is right before Jesus Christ started to do his year of ministry. And verse 17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" I would say that is probably one of the key things that helped Jesus Christ to do what he did, is he knew God's love for him. God is still saying that to us today. He says it all the time in manifestations. The heavens don't always open up, but I guarantee almost every time we have manifestations, God says, "I love you." He says, "I am well pleased with you." So this is our encouragement. This is where we begin to face our fears, is, "Beloved, you are my sons and daughters. I am well pleased with you." That is going to help you to fight your fears. Okay? 1 John 4:18. Let's just turn there. And then I'm going to call on whoever has 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. So be ready. Whoever you are. So 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Everyone know what I'm talking about, or what God's talking about when it says fear hath torment? Does it not just freeze you in your tracks sometimes, or make you cowardly and just want to curl up into a ball? Whatever that fear may be that's getting to you, a fear of being rejected, a fear of letting go, a fear of not feeling worthy or good enough. Well, what is going to help you to get rid of that fear is to realize who God is and to realize how much He loves you and who He's made you to be. And that fear will be replaced with love. Okay, so God is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Go for it, Mom.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay, God is light. No darkness. Can't have light and dark at the same time. Light drives out darkness. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Paula. So God is love. What better way to replace fear than just be in the presence of God? It's just like light driving out darkness, love drives out fear. Same concept. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. Jan. Nice and loud.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea.
God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help. We do not need to be afraid. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. Anyone? Vicki.
For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be the hope of those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
God is a sun. He is a shield. He doesn't withhold good. Okay, these are huge, huge promises of God and very telling of who He is. This is His character. Exodus 34, Bob, verse 6.
And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.
There's a lot of different things. Merciful, abundant. This is who God is. This is who is our Father. What do we have to fear? We have God on our side. You know, if you have a fear of rejection, you're not rejected from God. He is always accepting you. And on that note, I'm going to do the next one. You are blank. Ephesians chapter 1. Who's got that? Verses 4 through 7. Josh.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Okay, so we are chosen. We are holy. We are without blame. We are His. We are His children. And the one I love the most about that is we are accepted. So if you have a fear of what other people think, if you have a fear that you're not good enough, that you're going to fail, you're accepted. You're holy. You're set apart. So those are lies. They are not true. You have to get rid of those thoughts. Ask God to show you and help you to get rid of those things and fill it with His word. Fill it with these truths. You are accepted in Christ Jesus. Done. End of story. Romans 8, verse 37. Okay, Kathy.
Romans 8, 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that either death or life or angels or principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
We're more than conquerors. Does that mean we can conquer any fear that we're confronted with?
Yes.
I think so. Absolutely. And there is nothing that you can do that will separate you from God's love. So say you do give in to a fear. Oh well, move on. Next one. Let's go, God.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to separate you. You can mess up all you want, and God still loves you. It is unconditional. We don't always receive unconditional love from people in the world. In fact, we rarely do. Maybe, you know, from our parents. And even then, you never know sometimes. But it's unconditional. There is nothing, 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 nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And we have to keep that in mind when these fears start to crop up into our minds and we start believing these lies and believing the things the world says to us. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Who's got that one? Anyone? Okay, Psalm 139.
I have that one.
Okay.
Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
So no matter what other people think, whatever you might be tempted to think of yourself, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter what you look like, no matter what you wear, no matter what accent you have, it doesn't matter. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and who is love. So you were created in love. You are made to love. He is love. Love drives out fear. It's a very simple concept, and I'm just pounding it in so it gets in there. Okay, I'll read 1 John 4:4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We all probably know that by heart. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ faced death for us, and he was not afraid. We can face anything because Jesus Christ is in us. Greater is he. Greater is Christ. His name is above all names than anything in this world. So if that doesn't give you reason to kick fear in the butt, then I don't know what does. So, in conclusion, we'll finish in Psalm 34. And the end of my teaching, the end of the title, is let go. Let go of your fears. Let go of the anxiousness, which is really just a form of fear. Let go of your bitterness or your unforgiveness. Let go of these things that hold you back, because fear torments and it holds you back from being the person God has made you to be and walking forth on the calling he has on each and every single one of your lives. That is the thing that defeats believers the most, is fear. And fear is basically negative believing. It's the opposite of having faith in the truth of God's word. So we need to get rid of it, have it be gone, and know that we are loved. We need to know who God is, because in any situation, when you look at God and you realize who he is, then the situation that you're faced with or the feeling that you have becomes much smaller. Ask God for help. Don't be afraid to say, "Hey, I'm inadequate. Yes. So God, help me, strengthen me, energize that spirit of Christ within me so that I can overcome this." And then think about God's word. Dwell on it. Let it seep into your heart so that you can control your mind. And then it will manifest in your life and that fear will be gone. So Psalm 34, verse 4, 7, and 9. I'm going to skip. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Did he do that for Jesus? He sure did. Oh, fear the Lord. Verse 9. Ye his saints, for there is no want, no lack to them that fear him. So there is a good type of fear, and that is fear of God, reverence. Knowing you are inadequate, but that God is. You are inadequate, but God is adequate. So there is a good fear, and that is fear, a reverence of who God is. So that's what I want to share. God is blah, 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 all those different things. You are da, 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 all those things. So let go. Let it go. Surrender to God. Trust Him. Trust what He can do in your life. And be merry. There you go. All right. Thank you, guys.